Hello, friends. Today's episode is brought to you by From Within Records. The One Scene Unites in the Panhandle, Saturday, May 18th, From Within Records, Spring 2024 Showcase. Magnitude, Mouths at the Palace, Seat of Pain, Envision, Worn, Collateral, Dimension 6, Statement of Pride, Burning Strong, and Milestone. This will all be taking place at the Handlebar. Grab tickets while you still can. Head over to fromwithinrecords.com and you can thank me later. All due respect, demo 2 tapes are available. Head over to the From Within Records web store and grab one while supplies last. If you're not following From Within Records on social media, please go boot up Twitter, go boot up Instagram, click that follow button to stay up to date on all the current news. If you're looking for high quality merch for your band or for your business, please hit up my friends over at Good Fortune Printing out of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. You can follow them on Instagram at Good Fortune Printing, or if you want to get in contact with them, please email them contact@goodfortuneprinting.com. Before we get into today's guest, I just want to say thank you for the support on the exclusive X vlog, right? Seltzer came to town. It was awesome. It was fun. So I appreciate everyone who tuned in. It was fun, and we'll be doing more of those throughout the year. But on today's episode, we had to track down our friend Paul, plays in a band called Missing Link. And this is something that was bittersweet. I'm very happy that Paul took the time to come on the podcast, but this is something that we had scheduled for LDB. I had bought new equipment and I was excited to test it out and use it. But it just wasn't in the cards, right? Like we talk about, there wasn't really anywhere quiet enough in the building, surprisingly, right? This is a giant pavilion, but the music was so loud that we could not escape it. So just, you know, things were just out of our control, but we still wanted to get it done. So I'm very happy Paul was able to do it over Discord, which was fun. I love Discord. Add me on Discord. But it was great. I was happy to be able to talk about our experience at LDB this year. Missing Link news, which is pretty exciting. So hopefully you tune in and hear that and get excited just like I did. And we get to talk about Paul's journey through hardcore. And it was awesome. It was very interesting. And I think I let my inner recon fanboy get out there a little too much. But I'm happy Paul was down to hear about it. But it was awesome. I'm happy Paul came on. It was a fun conversation. So if you're listening to this and you're not familiar with Missing Link, please go boot up Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, Tidal, Bandcamp, whatever. Go search out Missing Link, the latest release, the 2 Cent Circus is awesome. If you're here in 2024 and you've never heard of Recon, do yourself a favor and go listen to Recon. They're awesome. And also, if you've never heard of World of Pain, shout out to San Diego Hardcore, awesome band. But please listen to all those bands and then come back here and listen to Paul and I chop it up. Very fun conversation. So please strap in, enjoy this conversation. Without further ado, welcome Paul to the show. Recording. Welcome to the podcast, Paul. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm happy that we're here talking. Obviously, I had reached out to you a while ago to set up an in-person thing for LDB, not realizing like how hectic and loud it was going to be. So I'm bummed that it didn't work out in person, but I'm happy that we're able to make it work today.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So we'll get to LDB, but I'm just curious about you, because you play in Missing Link, and also I you know saw that you're you also play in World of Pain and Recon.
I mean, I've played in a bunch of bands over the years, but I guess the ones that you know did anything, I guess, or whatever, were I started out touring a bunch with Recon. That's like I'm slated as the original guy, you know, drummer or whatever for that band. They actually did have a drummer before me for like a couple months. And then the entirety of the band has just been like me and my buddy Mike. And then I played a World of Pain because I lived in San Diego for a number of years, and then do Missing Link too.
Oh wow.
And I play in a bunch of other bands too. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm curious about how'd you end up in San Diego of all places?
So I guess the long story is I was touring with Recon. And then I actually used to fly out to Reno, Nevada pretty often to fill in for that band AFB. A long time ago.
Oh wow. Okay.
I was going out there a bunch, and then every time Recon would tour, we would like spend time in San Diego. We'd play at like Soma or like the Mac, like way back when and stuff. And so I moved from I'm from upstate New York. I'm from like the Albany area. And then I moved to Buffalo, New York. I lived there for a couple years, and I played in this band Goodbye Cruel World there, and I would play in Rhinoceros too, that band. And then I was just like, fucking, I'm gonna go to San Diego because San Diego's rad. And that was really about it. So I rode my motorcycle there.
that's wild. And how long were you in San Diego?
Like 5 years, maybe a little less.
Okay, that's awesome. San Diego is cool. I feel like they've always had an awesome thing. There's always great bands from coming out from that area. Obviously, like Take Offense, legendary band, and then even like what they have going on today with like the younger bands like Hereditary, Bent Blues doing cool stuff. So
Mongrel. That's
oh yeah, that band is insane.
That's 3/5 World of Pain right there. So.
Yeah, and they just I saw them at the Midnight Hour a couple months ago, and they're insane.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And why did you end up leaving San Diego?
At the time I was married, and my ex-wife wanted to leave. Really, no, that was really it. There was really no reason. I live in Western Mass now. That's where we moved to. Because I have a bunch of friends here from over the years of, you know, just whatever. And then I just kind of picked a spot, and this was it.
And did you ever have any thoughts of like going back to New York?
Nah, no, not really, man. I love Buffalo. If I were to move back to the state of New York, it would be to Buffalo. I love Western New York. But upstate, that's like where my parents live and stuff still. And my sister's there. I wouldn't go there. It's a little too up there.
Yeah. I want to go up there eventually to, you know, check out what hardcore is like up there, because I've been to Long Island.
It's different.
Been to the city. But I want to like kind of like work my way up and like, you know, make a stop in like the Hudson Valley and then, you know, kind of get to the top.
Yeah. It's, I mean, now I'm sure it's like way different. I'm in my mid 30s though. So like when I was living in upstate and going to shows and Recon was doing its thing. And even before that, when I was in, I started I started going to shows when I was like 11, like really, really young. Mm-hmm.
That
was
young.
It was a very, very different place. It's very different. That's for sure.
That's crazy. And how'd you find out about, shows at 11?
So my brother is 1 year older than me. We were into like skateboarding and stuff like that. Like we'd see it on TV and stuff. But the only like piece of music I had was a Huey Lewis and the News cassette tape that like, I think my aunt gave it to me. Mm-hmm. And LL Cool J single, cassette tape. And then I was riding the bus home with my friend who I just like talked about. I didn't even really skateboard. I just talked about skateboarding. I thought I did, but like not like seriously. My friend had a CD who it was his older cousin's, and he let me listen to it, and it was an Earth Crisis CD. And I didn't know like what it was. I didn't know what the band was called. I just saw that it was a Earth Crisis Gomorrah Season Ends. And I was like, oh, that sounds crazy. And then on the weekend, me and my brother and my dad went to like a used CD store. And I found the Earth Crisis CD. I don't know how I found it. And then I also bought a Pantera Far Beyond Driven. So like, I didn't have this big like lead in like a lot of people have to like hardcore or anything. It was just like, I thought like, skulls and stuff looked cool, and the Pantera CD has a skull with a big drill through it, and that's like their heaviest record. And then Earth Crisis, that record's just incredible. So that was it. And then fast forward maybe like a year or two, maybe a year, about maybe I was 10 when that happened. It was around there, like 10, 11 or something. And then my brother, who was a year older than me, he had a friend who was like a year or two older than him, whose mom like worked in a grocery store and worked with this dude who played in like a metalcore band or a metal band, whatever, and did what we all did when we were probably 16. I thought he was an adult, but yeah, he was probably like 16.
Yeah.
Was just like giving everyone flyers and gave one to my brother's friend's mom and was just like, yo, come to the show. And then she brought us to this little bar that like you could still smoke cigarettes inside and stuff like that. And there's a metalcore band playing from my hometown. And that was it. Boom, like went and saw that. I want to say like the next weekend was this big show called Super Jam that they used to do in upstate that was put on by the college. And that was like Canderia, Indecision, Fahrenheit 451, like a bunch of like older bands or whatever. And that was like they would do Sunday matinee shows like every weekend. That was like from age like 11 on, I was just like going to shows every weekend. That was really it.
That's wild, because that's pretty young, because I didn't get into going to shows until I was like 14. I was like a freshman in high school.
Yeah, it was interesting, because like I didn't know that, you know. We were just, me and my brother were just like the little kids, you know, who went to shows, and we thought, we didn't really think anything of it. We were just doing our thing. And luckily my parents are pretty cool. They're like old hippies that just were like, you know, make sure you don't get in any trouble and you're chilling kind of thing. And we're small. It was a small town too, so it was like not too much going on. And luckily we just got, it's about where I grew up. It's like about 35, 40 minutes north of Albany. So we got a lot of bleed over of like bands coming through Albany, and then they would like come up, they'd go north a little bit. So there was just like, by the time all my friends who I like skated with, or I played football in school too, like people started kind of like going to shows at like 14, 15, like you were saying. Like me and my brother were already like 4 or 5 years deep. Like we already had a band. We already played shows. We already played shows at like, you know, different towns and stuff like that. So.
And did like you learning an instrument come before like going to shows, or did that come along with it?
So the long story, I guess, is my two uncles played in like a bar band, and one played drums and one played guitar. So it was like my brother being so close in age to me, he's only like 13 months older than me. Mm. Like he played guitar, I played drums. So in fourth or fifth grade, I joined like the school band or whatever and like learned for percussion. Mm-hmm. And I like did that. And he was in like the orchestra, but he got a, you know, got a guitar and stuff like that. And that was, dude, that was it. That was like, I remember my parents, like, cause we didn't have a ton of money or anything, just being like, we'll like piece together a drum set for you. We'll buy you a snare and then we'll get you like a bass drum. We'll get you like a rack tom or like whatever. I was like, oh, okay. And then it's moved on from there.
That's wild. And how did you and your brother figure out how to like even get a band organized so young?
You know, I don't know. It was literally like our like my brother went to junior high because where we grew up, seventh and eighth grade had its own school. Oh, wow. That was like the junior high. Yeah, it was they changed it now, but it was like they did that. And when my brother went to junior high, he met all these, you know, new people or whatever. So we knew some people from my school or from like our elementary school we went to and shit. But like when he went to junior high, he met like, you know, our buddy Nick, who we're still friends with to this day. He played in me and my brother's band. We knew this dude, Mike, he was the singer, and whoever else like played guitar and like just literally was like, hey, let's start a band. And it was like, okay, cool. And that was it. Like we were terrible, but it was like, you know, we were trying to cover like Slayer in sixth grade. My brother was in seventh grade and like old Weezer songs, but they weren't all cover songs, you know, like we had our own songs. Mm-hmm. And then we would do like a cover song, or we would try and cover like Earth Crisis or something like that. And that was just it. We were just like the kind of outliers, and these hella young kids were like going to shows in this like town and upstate, and like me, my brother, and like the couple buddies who were in our band. And that was really about it. Like it just was what it was, kind of thing.
And outside of like your group and like your band, were like the other like older people at these shows recognizing you guys and trying to give you advice?
So my dad, if anybody's ever met my dad, they know like he's pretty like, he's so friendly. He's such like a friendly guy. So like he would drop us off, but he would also kind of like meander like outside, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. meet a couple people and stuff. But like, dude, it was, I think the shows were small enough, and like the dudes setting up the shows kind of realized, they're like, fuck, dude, like these kids are kids, you know, like little kids, you know? So, they like looked out for us, which was super cool. Like that's how I found out about like what Straight Edge was and what this was and what that was. Like literally was just like going to shows and seeing it happen, you know, type of thing in front of me, and listening to like older people talk about stuff and bands and, you know, whatnot and everything. And then we also like, there was no music that was like off limits type of thing. We didn't have any sort of like, I don't like punk, or I don't like death metal, or I don't like hardcore or Oi or like whatever. It was like if it was like subgenre style music, we would just go and like soak it in, type of thing.
Yeah, I feel like that's how I was when I was younger, because I felt like like immediately from like the beginning, I felt like I was like behind, because I was like, dude, this whole thing has like existed, but like while I've been alive, like I need to figure this out.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was like just like trying to soak up as much information and listen to anything and everything that I could at that time.
Yeah.
Which is fun, because I feel like that's how you're supposed to be able to kind of like,
yeah, man,
like carve like your own like taste, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I like, it's cool because like I don't ever really know if it comes out in any music I play, but like, you know, you get the pretty like standard, oh, I listen to like everything, but if like if I look at my CD rack, like at my parents' house, it looks like a fucking bomb went off. It's literally like Incantation to Warzone to fucking, you know, Hatebreed to whatever. Like, it's just all over the map type of thing. And, you know, my brother kind of leaned more, once we kind of got our taste in music or whatever, my brother's kind of leaned more towards like pop punk style of stuff. And, and then I leaned more towards like the heavier stuff and everything.
And I'm curious, with like your brother and those like friends early on, are they still around? Mm-hmm. Do they still go to shows?
Dude, so my brother, actually, shout out to him. He's awesome. He works in the music industry. He's like, he actually like a ton of hardcore bands that have endorsements and stuff like that through the company he works for is like through him. It's because of him. And he like runs the show. He's got this big dick swinging job and stuff like that within the, I don't want to put all his business out there, but so he like goes to shows. It's pretty funny. He'll like text me every once in a while. Like he's pretty behind the ball, but he's not on stuff. Like he texted me the other day. He's like, oh, he's like, you ever listen to that band Regulate? And I was like, yeah, you know, I was like, I've played with them a million times type of thing. And he goes, yeah. I was like, why, what's up? Thinking like, oh, maybe they hit him up for an endorsement. Cause sometimes that happens and he'll hit me up and be like, oh, do you know these guys or whatever? He's like, no, I was just listening to them. They're pretty sick. I was just like, yeah, man, cool. Literally just that. So he still listens to hardcore. My buddy Nick, who played in the band, he still like listens to it. My old band, Recon, played a show right before the pandemic. And he came out to that. So I don't know if he's not like active or anything, but like probably still listens, I would imagine.
Okay. And I'm curious about Recon, because I felt like when Recon came around, like California, I wasn't like I feel like at that stage in like my hardcore career, I just was still like antisocial and just cared about just listening to the music and going to shows and not really like trying to know people. So I just never really knew like the origin of the band. All I knew was like when I stumbled across like this video of you guys playing live and I heard 13 for the first time, I was like, I need to hear that live. I need to mosh to that. That's like all I cared about. And then like you mentioned, like more recently, you guys, played a show. So I was always just kind of confused, like, did they ever hang it up or are they just, you know, on a hiatus?
No, I mean, we never hung it up per se. The band started in 2004. So like I was still in high school. We did all this touring when bands still had it. Like, I probably sound like such an old fuck, but like, it's not how it is now. You know what I'm saying? Like Missing Link, like my band now, we didn't have to go on tour. We've never been on tour. You know what I mean? But we're still playing cool shit and doing stuff. Like when Recon started, like the only way to like get ahead was you had to tour, you know? So Recon just toured and toured and toured like 10 months out of the year from like pretty much 05, right when I graduated high school, till 2009, 2010, something like that. I'm bad with dates, so don't hold me to any of this stuff. But, and basically what happened was we did all this touring. Anybody who's done a ton of touring kind of knows it's like, it's hard to have like a home life type of thing. Like, it was like, can't have an apartment. It's hard to have a relationship. It's hard to do this, do that, you know? So I was like, hey, let's take a break, you know, for the summer type of thing. Let's take the summer off. And then that's when Mike, the guitar player, and the band is just me and him, you know, me and him wrote pretty much everything with influence from other guys that were in at the time. He was like, okay, well, Amir asked me to fill in for them on Warped Tour. And I was like, cool, go do that. And then after that, they're like, hey, they want me to be in the band, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, go do it. I was working at Equal Vision Records in Albany at the time. So I was chilling just home. Like, we didn't, like, break up or quit or anything. We just, like, stopped touring. That was really it. And then we play like once a year. I mean, our last show was 2019, March 2019, right as the pandemic like really popped off. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Mike is still one of my best buds. We talk all the time. We always talk about putting out new recon shit and playing show. I think we're gonna play a show this December.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Before we go to this call, I'll show you this. I have a recon shirt like hanging back here, which I I like don't like to wear it too often because it has like, you know, it's like it has like some like glitter in it, and I was like, you know, this can only last for so long. I really enjoyed recon because I feel like I've got to see you guys at like a couple different venues out here in Southern California, and just back in like the 2000s, it was just it was always exciting for me to like, you know, find a band on like MySpace and then be like, oh shit, they're finally here, like this is sick, you know.
That was such like a weird time, I feel like, because we would like you know, recon would like show up to a show in like Alabama somewhere, and like dudes would be like, oh, like you guys are crazy, and I'm like, why are we crazy? Like, we're like, you know, like we're everybody that was in the band and kind of always in the band was like pretty mellow, and like around a time when like, you know, there's a lot, you know, lots of stuff happening always on like tours and shit like that, and it was always funny like getting out to California and meeting people and stuff like that. It was just like very is a very different time. So it's funny hearing people's stories years after about recon, because we did an EP and a full length and that was it. Mm-hmm. We didn't do anything. We put out some stuff later, like another EP that I'm not super stoked on, but we did it.
Okay. Well, I would like to hear new stuff, you know, if it ever comes out.
We already, me and Mike talked about it kind of recently about doing three or four songs and just putting it out.
Okay. And was it ever like weird for you guys to kind of see like that hard work pay off? Because I felt like every time you guys came out, it was just like getting bigger each time.
Yeah. It was very cool at the time. Again, like, I don't know how much you like talk to people or anything like that during that time or whatever. I assumed you were going to shows then in the mid 2000s or late 2000s or whatever. But like, there's a lot of people that weren't super cool to kids who were going to shows and stuff that played in bands. And, you know, we would have to tour them and stuff like that. And we would always try and be like as like nice as possible and stuff like that. So anytime we came to like a city again and like the show was bigger or we did better, it was just kind of like, all right, like we're doing the right thing by like being, you know, nice to be as nice as we can, you know, when you're fucking 20 years old or whatever. But like, you know, it was definitely interesting to see how everything was going.
Okay. And last thing on recon, had it been like a week or two ago, there was like that, Twitter thread where it's like, oh, you know, like bands, you know, kind of ripping off riffs, and then there was the recon and A Day to Remember, which is crazy, right? Because it's like,
No, I was just saying that one's a bit different in my opinion. I think the story is. Okay, I'll just give you the whole story.
Okay.
So, Recon always had different members and stuff like that. And we had a bass player for pretty much the longevity of the band. His name's Jerry. He's from Florida. We linked up with him on tour one time, whatever. And so we're writing, we record, we put out the record. Cool. Record does well. This, that, and the third. A Day to Remember was always a band that we had knew, we met, we probably played shows with, like in Florida. Our bass player knew, our friends down in Florida knew, because they're all from the same area, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they put that song out specifically. That's just like we all rip off parts. You know, yeah. We all rip off riffs. I rip off drum parts all the time and everything like that. But at the time, that's like a copy and pasted part, you know, like it's like the part that we had in a song. So at the time it was a big deal. Some stuff was said and things happened or whatever back years and years and years ago. So then this pops up again, mm-hmm. and that pops up on my Twitter feed. And I was just like, you know, it's actually a little bit crazier than that. And I was like, because the guys in the band, you know, kind of grew up with the guys in my band, and some, you know, words were exchanged, and it was kind of basically like, well, like, we're a bigger band, so fuck you type of thing, from them, not from us. And it was what it was.
Damn.
Funny though.
Crazy. Funny. Yeah. Cause I you know,
and now my guitar player for Missing Link is who's in Pain of Truth is going on tour with him. Right. Full circle.
and that is Nick Hansen.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Cause yeah, long time ago, I remember hearing those comparisons. I'm like, yeah, that is strange. But then yeah, seeing it here in 2024, I was like, oh shit, I forgot about that. That's wild.
Yeah. Like 15 years too late.
Yeah, that is crazy. But also I did like to see that, like, you know, like where certain band members were coming out and admitting like, yeah, like I ripped that off, like, you know.
My god, I can't tell you how many riffs have been ripped off in bands that I've played in. Countless.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'm a fan of Recon. I like I said, I will show you that. I will show you that shirt, but before we get off here. Yeah. But you mentioned Missing Link, which I'm a fan of, and I'm just really curious about that band. How did you guys all link up and decide to start Missing Link?
So, Victor, our bass player, like started the band. He's from Long Island. I met him through World of Pain, because we would fly out to New York pretty often to do weekends, like Northeast shit. It was just like, just straight up just a pandemic band, you know. We were just chopping it up and he's like, hey, I got these songs, like, you want to play on them? I was like, sure, who's gonna do the band? And he was like, me and Evan. Evan played in Separated. And World of Pain did a few weekends. We brought Separated over to the West Coast and stuff like that a couple times, or maybe only once. But we did a few weekends with them and stuff. And I was like, well, Evan's the man, so let's do it. And then Victor was like, I'll get my buddy Nick to play. Victor started playing guitar. Nick started playing bass.
Okay,
that's how the and then our buddy Mike. He lives in Rochester. He's a singer. I knew him just because I lived in Buffalo and he used to play drums in this band Sacred Pledge way back. And like, we just all kind of knew each other because we were from the Northeast and we all went to shows all over the place. I think Recon used to play with Victor's old band, like way back. Victor and Lumpy, their old band way back in the day. So it's all just kind of, everyone's just kind of connected type thing.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you know, kind of started off as like a pandemic band. Was there like a point where you guys realized like, okay, this could like actually turn out to be like a thing, like a band that actually does stuff?
No, I'm genuinely shocked every time we get a good reaction or something cool happens, because I just think everybody hates us. I don't know, like. I don't know. When we started the band, I was like, okay, cool. Like, we'll just do this band. And then we put the songs out and then we're like, okay, we'll play some shows and then we'll put this EP out. And we put the EP out and then just kind of like, I don't know, the ball started rolling or whatever. And I did not expect to do anything with the band. I just expected to put an EP out, put some songs out, and then just go back to work type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's nice that it's been able to, you know, kind of gain some traction, because I think what you guys have put out, you know, so far has been awesome. But, you know, you guys had that release in 2023. It was the one song in the cover. But I'm curious, are you guys planning on putting out like another EP or a full length anytime soon?
Full length is recorded.
Oh, wow.
It's done, mixed, mastered. It comes out, we don't have like a specific date yet, but this summer sometime, you know. Full length, all new songs. I think it's really good.
And are you still sticking with Triple B?
Yeah, Sam's gonna put it out. Yep, Triple B's come doing it. We're trying, I think we were trying to get it out before like the end of June. I don't know. Something around there.
Mm-hmm. And is there a reason why summer, if the record's already done?
Well, I mean, pressing plants and stuff like that, you know.
Okay.
It just takes time, you know. I mean, in theory, sure, we could put it on the internet whenever, but it's all, I don't know. There's a process, I guess. I don't know shit about putting out a record. So we just kind of divert. We recorded it. We divert everything to, okay, do your thing.
Okay. All right. I don't want to ask too many questions about the record, because obviously it's still a ways away, but obviously there's going to be a proper rollout for it.
I think so. I hope so. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I always like to ask, and I'm always curious. Okay. So you're at this point where we're here, like still pretty early in the year, right? We're like late March, about to be in like early April. Do you take a break like creatively in terms of like writing music, or are you just like, you know, stockpiling riffs?
We yes and no. I mean, like right now, just because writing I haven't written a full length since shit, World of Pain did, I forgot what it's called, one of the full lengths that we did.
Okay.
That was the last one. So like writing one sucks. It's like you have all this music, you don't know if it's going to be good or not, like you put it together. Luckily Evan, our guitar player, used to own a studio. So he like he recorded like the Separated stuff, all the early Vane stuff, the studio. He had a partner that did the first Pain of Truth like EP and everything like that. So he's really good at like, hey, I got this riff, I'm gonna record it and put fake drums to it and send it to you, like what do you think? Like, so we wrote the whole record pretty much that way. And then it was funny when we went to record it, the studio engineer was like, he's like, all right, he's like, you guys like good to go? And I was like, I've never played the songs, I have no idea. So, because like they live on Long Island, I live 2.5-3 hours away. Mike lives like 6 hours away. So, like getting all we've practiced as a full band like 2 times ever. So that was really it. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I think right now everybody creatively is kind of like a little toast, because Nick just did a full length for Pain of Truth.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's been bonkers with that shit, and then we did this record. So right now it's just kind of like, all right, let's just play some shows and not fucking write anything or worry about it. I'm sure it'll roll again though.
Yeah. Take a break from that. Okay. Damn. That's wild. Now I'm just like, okay, summer. Now I'm a little more excited for summer. Looking forward to a new record.
Yeah.
Cause I was always curious, cause you know, obviously 2 songs in 2023, that was nice. But, you know, I'm just like a greedy fan. I always want more, especially like, you know, when it's something that like I enjoy.
Yeah. Sick. I'm stoked. I hope people like it. I was saying something the other day. I was like, I'm in my mid 30s and I think I wrote my favorite like record I've ever played on type of thing, like now, which I'm stoked on. I'm stoked on the record.
That's awesome. I'm really happy to hear that you're stoked on it, and I'm happy that that is a full length, because going from like the 2 song thing, now we're getting like a like a full meal, which I'm stoked for.
Yeah, I mean the 2 songs was literally just like I play Call of Duty with Sam like almost every day. And like, we were just talking, you know, chopping it up or whatever. And he's like, hey, he's like, what's Missing Link doing? I was like, I don't know. He's like, oh, he's like, you want to do he's like, you want to put a song out for like a comp or something he was doing. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I don't think the comp happened, but then he was like, you want to just do like a 2-song, like flexi. And I was like, okay, yeah. And then he's like, cool. He's like, you want to do that? And then just like do a whole record at some point too. And I was like, fuck yeah. So that was really it. That was the only reason why we put those 2 songs out. I mean, we had the song written, we just had to record it, but we just weren't sure what we were going to do with it type thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was cool that it kind of, you know, kind of all worked out, you know, in one way. Yeah. And I'm really shocked to hear that. Like, so the whole like career of the band, you guys have really only practiced twice, like all together.
I think it's at most, at the very most, 4 times. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure it's 2 or 3, but I might be like missing one somewhere.
Was one of those practices before LDB?
No, we didn't practice at all.
Interesting. And any nerves or anything in a situation like that? Because it's such a big stage.
You know, man, I'm probably going to sound like a fucking loser saying this. I simply don't care.
Okay.
In this way possible, it's hardcore. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sitting on stage and I look to the left and look to the right, and it's just like all my homies that I see all the time playing shows and shit like that. So like, if we fuck up, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't mean this in like, I'm not trying to like sound like a fucking cocky dickhead or anything like that, but like, I just like if I fuck up, I'm a, you know, like, we play a lot of shows with Gridiron, right? So like, if I fuck up and I look over and like fucking Mully or Carl or something are just sitting there, like, they're just going to be like, and I'm going to be like, and just like keep going, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it is what it is. And also too, like, you know, we have Chris playing guitar for us now too, and he plays an Internal Bleeding. Evan is just is the man. Nick's super fucking pro. Like, I've played enough shows where like, we got it. You know what I mean? Like, the strings will get together because they all live on Long Island. So like, they'll run the set real quick, but like, I'm usually about 95% of the time solid. So we just don't even bother.
Oh, that's wild.
I would love to practice if it was easier, but it's like, bro, getting to Long Island from here is a fucking 3.5-hour drive through the worst shit ever. Like, it sucks. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I'd rather not practice and just sound like shit.
Yeah, just figure it out. Yeah. I don't blame you. I hate driving. Yeah, it's terrible. But okay, I want to move on to LDB. We were just in Louisville over the weekend, and you know, I'd never been there, never been to the fest, so I wasn't really sure what to expect, and also I wasn't really sure what to expect from Missing Link, because your guys' merch table was set up right by the LDB Records where I was, and I was scoping out the merch. I was like, all right, I was like, the shirt with the girl on it looks cool. I'm definitely gonna grab one. And like, I swear I went and watched, like, a couple bands came back and like everything was gone except for like the jerseys, and I was like, like, what? Like, I was tripping out because, you know, there was like, you know, like Big Boy, Bog, like, they had these lines for their merch, mm-hmm. but it seemed like everybody just came and like got it like so fast, because you guys had like I think like 3 or 4 t-shirt designs, and I was just really bummed that I didn't get that shirt. It just looked cool from like where I was sitting, and I was like, sure. I was just tripping out. But how stoked were you to move that much merch, and were you guys even expecting anything like that?
No, I would have printed more if I knew, you know. I played LDB with World of Pain years ago, and it was when it was at a like a bigger style venue, not like a fucking convention hall. You know what I mean? It was like you know, maybe like 800 people, not that big, you know? So I don't know. It's weird, man. It's like, I'm sure you see some bands just like get the juice right out the gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They start, they fucking pop off, good for them, like type of thing. And it just is what it is. We're not that band. Ours is slow going. You know what I mean? It's a, we're playing shows, we're selling 5 shirts. We're playing shows, we're selling 8 shirts. You know what I mean? Type of thing. And so going into LDB, what we kind of do is we print smaller numbers of shirts in hopes that we can sell out every show. And that also too, we try not to reprint a lot of stuff. So if like, you know, if we print a cool shirt, someone makes a big deal and they buy it, whatever, it's just like, well, there's only like 40 of them or 50 of them or whatever. So, but I wasn't expecting to have a line for merch. Like, I haven't had a line for merch since fucking Recon days, you know what I mean? Or anything like that. And it was awesome, man. It was awesome. It was cool to know that kids at least wanted the shit that we got printed, and they wanted it bad enough that they bought it all. And then we sold out of everything except for like a handful of jerseys, which is cool.
Yeah, and that's awesome to be able to go home with like, you know, less merch boxes than you showed up with.
Yeah, that's the goal always.
Okay. And is there like somebody who's like, you know, who gives like the art direction for your merch, or is it like a collective thing?
Funny you say that. That's caused a bit of contention in our band. Mike, our singer, comes up with good ideas when it comes to merch.
Okay.
So like, usually, again, we don't fucking practice. We're all kind of stupid. So like, the idea of like, oh shit, we got to get these shirts printed, it'll be like 5 days before the show.
Oh,
luckily,
wow.
Austin from fucking, you know, CMI, Buried Dreams, like all those bands, he's only like an hour from me, and that's the homie. So like, he's got a fucking print shop. He's killing it, dude. He like, I text him a design and he's like, cool, it'll be done in like 2 days. Like, and he's killing it for us, which is great. It's a blessing to have him right there. But Michael usually come up with a design. He'll shoot it to me, like colorways and stuff like that. And I'll be like, okay, cool, that's good. Like, I think that'll sell well. And then that's really it. I think if our merch was doing worse at shows and not selling out, we'd probably ask the other guys in the band, like, hey, what do you think about this or whatever? But they don't, it sells out, so what are we going to complain about type thing.
Okay. And yeah. I'm still hung up on that shirt with a girl on it. What was that? Who is that? where was that taken from? Or what was that from?
Is it the stripper shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, you ain't seen Showgirls?
No, I'm really bad with movies. I'm sorry.
That's, do yourself a favor, watch Showgirls.
Okay, Showgirls. All right. I'll add it to the list because of this podcast. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I was also really curious about the jersey. I love when bands do jerseys. So for any band out there who doesn't want to do jersey, I think you're weird. But can you talk about the colorway, which that was interesting, because I was trying to figure it out. I'm like, is this like paying homage to something?
So again, Mike is from Western New York. He is from Auburn, New York, or Prison City, whatever you want to call it. That area, have you ever heard of ever seen those Cabal jerseys?
Like, yeah.
Cabal 315.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's a straight rip of an old Cabal jersey. That's it. Just a cool colorway, purple, whatever. It used to say 315, Cabal 315 with the other stuff on it. And then Tom Dom, who does Gold Set merch, he's, you know, from that area and stuff too. So when he was like, oh, I want to do, we saw him at FYA, and he was like, oh, I want to do a jersey for you guys. And I was like, cool. Like, let's, you know, Mike was like, let's rip this Cabal jersey. He was like, okay. Like, Tom will understand right off, you know, right off the rip, because that's his neck of the woods type of thing. So that was really it.
Yeah, those are sick. Yeah, because those definitely popped, and like obviously walking through like the sea of people, yeah. it easily stood out whenever I saw one. Like I knew exactly what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yep. And shout out Tom Dom. I was standing by the LDB table and he was walking by, and I don't know him, but he was walking by, and I just yelled forfeit, and he like kind of he like stopped in like his like mid stride and like kind of like turned around and like was like looking to see who screamed it, and I just like pointed at him, and then he just kind of laughed. So I wasn't sure if you know what that really meant, but I hope he appreciated that, because I love forfeit. Trail of Lies is awesome, but yeah, I just wanted to shout at that band.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. He probably appreciated it.
Okay, and shout out Gold Set Merch. Yeah, they do a lot of cool stuff.
They fucking killed it, man. It was if you ever want some like dope embroidered thing that's not gonna be $1 million, mm-hmm. that dude could set you up pretty good for sure.
All right, okay. I love the merch talk, but I'm curious about your experience, because you had been there before. You know, you mentioned back with World of Pain. Had you been there any other times, or was that the only time?
No, that was it. That was just the World of Pain one. That was like, we flew in, did that show. And then I think we did like a couple Ohio shows or something like that, and then flew home.
Okay, and but I'm just curious about your experience at the fest this year, because I've been like kind of like an outsider looking in, because I've seen you know all the videos from like you know when I was in the skate park, and then even I have this a friend Natalie who used to go way back in the day, and I used to trip out because I had no ties to the Midwest back then. So when she was like, you know, the only person that I knew from California flying out for this fest that she swore was like awesome, I didn't believe her for the longest time. But obviously she was like, you know, ahead of her time, because if you look at the fest now, it's insane. Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, you know, blown away at like, you know, how awesome that fest was, because it was like I said earlier, it was my first time traveling out there, and just the experience, I'm like all right, like I got to do this again next year.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that's a thing. Like I've definitely played fests where it just sucks, man. It's just a energy suck, like the way it's set up, the timing, the everything, whatever. But like you know, Colin and, you know, I believe they weren't going to do it this year. And then Sam, Triple B Sam, and this dude, Jake kind of was just like, all right, let's get it rolling. And so Colin and those two just, you know, ripped it, and, dude, they fucking killed it, man. It's nice because security wasn't super crazy. It wasn't a pain in the ass to like, as a band member, I guess, you know, to get around the venue and, you know, get places or whatever, or get people in or what have you, all the bullshit that comes with that. It was just super. And I mean, like it shows too, I think everyone has a pretty good experience. The show was great. The fucking people were awesome. Like, you know, bands sold tons of merch and everything like that. So it's definitely one of the better ones for sure, I think.
And did you go to both days?
Yeah. Yeah. I flew in Friday, got in like Friday. I think I got to the venue around like 4, okay. Something like that. 3 or 4. Yeah. So I wanted to watch Sanction a lot. I would have gone early. I still go, even in my mid 30s, I'll go to shows. A lot of people who playing bands and stuff like that, they don't still go to shows, they just kind of go to the shows that they're playing, but I still go just to go and kind of hang out and stuff like that. So I would have been there just to do something. I'm in Louisville. I don't know what there is to do there. May as well go to the show.
yeah I was just kind of, I'm always kind of just like in awe, because like when I'm in a place that I'd never been before, I'm always just so curious, because I'm like, okay, like I live most of my life in California, Yeah, sure. Like surrounded by like some pretty cool stuff. But like when I'm out here, I'm like, oh, like people, like this is like their life. So I'm like seeing, like businesses that like I've never even like heard of before, which I'm like always like curious about. Like what, is that place? And I'm like, you know, just like punishing. Cause I flew out there and stayed with Tyler, you know, from Inclination. And and I was just like punishing him like the whole time. I was like, dude, like, what is that? Like, tell me about that restaurant. And
I mean, that's dude, that's cool, man. I mean, like, that was that was me when I was 18 in California for the first time. You know what I mean? I distinctly remember my whole band in going to Newport Beach. That was like the first beach we got to in California. And then like, you know, it's a fucking beach. You know what I mean? Just like touching the water and being like, yo, this is, and having that feeling, just kind of being like, this is nuts, dude. Like I'm from upstate. I'm from the Adirondacks, dude. I'm from upstate New York. There ain't shit up there, you know? So it's like the idea that I'm on the other side of the country doing whatever's going on. You know what I'm saying? Like that was crazy. So it's cool that you still kind of like do that when you're in a new spot. Cause I'm, cause now I'm fucking old and jaded. I've been to Louisville 100 times when and I'm like, yeah, cool. I'm going to sit in my Airbnb and like watch Netflix and then go to the show and then go to the casino or something.
Yeah. I feel like I'm a late bloomer when it comes to like experiencing hardcore in different places. Cause I went on tour once, but like it was just a string of like California dates, Arizona and like Las Vegas. Which was which was awesome. Like I like, you know, I'm very grateful you know, for that time, but it wasn't until I became like an adult where I started actually traveling and getting to experience hardcore like outside of my normal scene. So I I just try to appreciate those times more, because it's like, all right, like I've been in hardcore for so long, but like I'm barely getting out to these other scenes that have existed for just as long as I've been around.
Yeah I mean, that's dope. It's definitely a different thing. I mean, way back, the whole fest thing now is like pretty interesting to see. Of it's like an event for people, like it's an event literally, but like it's like more of a it's not just like I'm going to a hardcore fest. It's like, oh, I'm going to, this is hardcore weekend, I look forward to this all summer type of thing. And you know, I get to go to Philly and I love Philly. I want to go eat at this place or eat here or do this. And it's cool to see. I think it's cool to see that so many people like love the travel aspect of it, you know?
Yeah. It's awesome. But then I always realize like, wow, there's not enough time, because there's so many people that I saw that I wanted to talk to, but it's like I had I was helping with the table, or it's like, you know, Koyo's about to hit the stage, there's no way I'm missing Koyo. You know, just stuff like that. And this lineup, I hated that there were so many good bands that I wanted to see. So I was just like, shit, I can't, there's no time to do anything. I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, they killed it, man. I mean, the fest was great. All the bands were great. Even if it's like, you know, even if it's like a band I've never heard of or a band that I don't necessarily listen to or whatever, like everything sounded so good. Every band sounded so good and everything like that. You know, it was like, it was nice. It was cool. I had a good time.
Yeah. You know, I was really fascinated by the Twitch stream, right? Because I didn't, because you know, it's like I knew that they had been streaming it on Twitch, but I didn't understand like the level of like production that they were doing for Twitch. Because
me either, I had no idea.
Yeah, because like behind the main stage, when I saw like the guys at like the control boards, like everything there, I was like, oh, this is like, because like I'll do Twitch from like where I'm sitting right now, but I just have my one camera, my little you know, mixer where I can like scene switch, but like, you know, they're doing like this whole crazy operation, because you know they had like 4 or 5 laptops and like this giant like board, and like I just have my really nice computer crazy. And it was just mind-blowing. I was like, wow, this is insane. I was like, maybe I need to step it up. It kind of like inspired me.
What's funny is like, this was always, I probably rant and rave about this all the time, but I hate when people film in like the grainy, like old school filter. You know what I'm talking about? Like, people take a video and it'll look like it was recorded on a VHS and, like, you know, it'll just look like shit and it'll sound like shit. And it's like, we fucking, when I was a kid, dude, I wanted to see whatever band I wanted to see. You know what I mean? I like, so bad. And when YouTube first started coming out, you would, or like, shit, I remember, like, Strife was a big band that I listened to when I was a kid, or when I was younger. I still listen to Strife. But, like, they had, like, a VHS, you know? Earth Crisis had a VHS and shit, and I would watch it, and it sounded terrible. And it looked pretty bad, you know? And it was just like, fuck. And now we got multi-camera fucking 4K Twitch streams for little Jimmy to sit his ass at home and fucking... some other country somewhere across the world who wants to see, like, Twitching Tongues play or something like that. And, like, they could see it in real time when it's happening, multiple camera angles. You can see all of us fucking stage potatoes up there just standing. Like, it's fucking rad. I think that shit's super rad. That shit is awesome. And then that's the only thing I get nervous about is when I'm sitting my fat ass up on stage, like, behind my drum set, I'm like, fuck, dude, there's all these cameras. Like, I probably look stupid right now, or I'm going to make a dumb face. And I saw a video, and it just looked like I was in pain the whole set. So I was like, fuck, dude, I look so stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Being up there on stage, yeah, I forget. Because I was, like, strategically, like, positioning myself behind Jeff feet first, because I was just you know, up there on you know, his side of the stage, and it is crazy, because I was, like, looking out and obviously seeing, like the camera that's, like, you know, got, like, the wide shot, and then just knowing, like, how many cameras were on stage, it was just, yeah, I was like, this is wild. And it's not, like, what I was expecting at all, because I just simply just had, like, one, maybe two cameras, but I was not expecting that level of production, which is crazy.
Me either, like, at all. I thought I was, well, what I didn't even realize when I first got there and I saw all the monitors and shit behind the stage with the computers and stuff going, I was like, what are these guys doing, you know? And then later I was like, oh, fuck, that's, like, that's the Twitch stream shit. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And yeah, I watched some bands, like, just back there, because I was like, I was just curious of how they were going to, you know, produce it for Twitch. And it was really cool just to be able to watch it from, like, that vantage point.
I wonder if there was a delay or anything. I'm sure there was.
Yeah. I think for, like, most streams, like, that's, like, the vibe, just in case something crazy happens.
Yeah.
There was, like, there's that clip that somebody got of the person getting knocked out during Gridiron set. I'm not sure if you saw that.
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just had so many questions. Like, was that person who got knocked out, did they just have, like, a really bad, like, chin? Had they been knocked out before? It was...
You know, man, I don't know. I've been knocked out plenty of times at shows, and it happens, you know? I've been hit super fucking hard, thinking I was gonna, like, go down. You know, when I'm younger, I don't fucking do that, but, like... thinking I was gonna go down and, like, not, and then I've definitely just caught, like, a something, like, perfectly, and, you know, gotten smoked before for sure. But yeah I don't know.
It's crazy too, because it's all, like, you know, laughs and jokes on the internet, but I remember, like, it happened, and then just the weird vibe of, like, okay, does Gridiron continue their set, or do they have to stop? It was like, because
you always keep it pushing. You don't stop, dude. Come on. Like, again, I might be the old geezer, like, guy or, like, whatever, but, like hardcore shows are violent places. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's in theory controlled violence, but it's a violent place. So when violent things happen, like, fucking scoop them out of the way and get them to where they ever need to go, and then just keep it rolling. You know, it's if someone gets knocked out, get them out of the way. If there's a fight that happens, just squash it and don't stop playing, you know, because it just makes it weird. It's always when someone gets knocked out and there's a big pause, or someone gets hurt or something like that, which, you know, and there's this big stop, it always fucks the vibe up. Mm-hmm. You know, it always screws with it, I think.
Yeah, I wish they would have just kept going, because like the awkward, like, oh, do we stop or do we continue?
It was like the end of the song.
Yeah.
You know, but like it just happened to have, you know, happen at the end of the song. And then, you know, I mean, yeah, sure. I just would have probably gone into the next song, but they did pretty much.
Yeah. And there was one of the staff members. I do not know her name or her Instagram, but I remember seeing it on my Explore page. She was like one of the medical people. And she like posted like the stats of like all like the injuries. And
oh, yeah.
There were zero deaths. So I'm like, OK, cool. So like the hey. I feel like it wasn't that bad. That's a W right there, dude. Yeah, because I can't remember who it was. Was it maybe during Harm's Way? I was going to the bathroom and I saw this guy. It looked like he broke his neck and he was getting carried out by like six people. And it just looked really scary. And I was like, oh, I was like, I'm just trying to go to the bathroom. I don't want to see this guy who looks like he's like paralyzed. It was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, like, again, if you're around long enough, you're going to see some shit. Like it was a lot worse 15 years ago. I'll tell you that much. That's for sure.
100%. Yeah. I moshed one time. Weapon X did a First Blood cover.
And, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I was like, all right. I was like, I'm 35. I was like, I could get in there and get hurt. I might regret this later, but this song is too good. And
it'll be worth it. You're from California. That's like a requirement.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm never I never get mad when there's like, you know, when shit happens like that, because you should know that it's a possibility. Like when I jumped in during the First Blood cover, like I don't expect to not get hit. I don't expect that I'm like, you know, invincible. It's like I'm putting myself at risk just by stepping in there.
I mean, it's a tale as old as time, man. If you don't want to. You don't want to get hit or whatever, you know, just don't go. That's why I stand on stage. I don't want some fucking fresh 18-year-old dude who's all jacked up to be fucking jumping on me and being gross and stuff like that. I want to get out of the way, but I still want to see my fucking friend's band play or something like that, you know? So
yeah, I think that's like my biggest like reason why I don't like being in crowds is having like people just like pushed up on me.
It's funny because, like, I say it all the time, like, at work. I'm a barber. I own a barber shop. And, like, I'll be cutting somebody's hair and, like, I'll be like, yeah, I don't really like people that much. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, you talk to people all day and they know my life. You know what I mean? They're like, mm-hmm. And you play in, like, bands and you go and play with all these people and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah. Be my own little world around a bunch of people, I guess, or something.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely the same way. I'm like, I'm not like, sometimes I'll say like I'm antisocial, but it's just like I feel like when I'm out, I just like to do what I'm you know, like the whatever reason I left my house, like I just want to get it done. Or if I'm like at a show, it's like, all right, like I only have so much of like a social battery, and sometimes I just want to save it for people that I actually want to interact with, but then sometimes people will come and try to like, you know, suck your energy, and it's just like, you know, it's a very tricky game when I step outside.
Right.
Yeah, like this Saturday there's a show happening in Pomona. There's a new band. And I don't want to say like a super band, but maybe, I don't know, it's like a bunch of dudes, and I don't even know them, but they play in a lot of bands from out here, but they have a new band called Load the Nine, and the best way I can describe them is they kind of sound like Gridiron. I hope they don't take offense to that, but I think it's fucking sick, and it's their first show, so I'm like, all right, there'll be a lot of people that I don't know and a lot of people that I don't want to know, but I really want to see this band because I really rock with what they have out. They only have like three songs, so and also I want to go support, because if it's a new band, you know, I want to check them out, and if they're good live, it's like, all right, cool, like we need you can never have enough good bands from your area, so it's like, if it's able to translate live, I you know, just want to wish them success and be able to experience it live, because I enjoy it, but yeah. Go ahead.
Do you live right in LA or?
No, I live in Anaheim, like near Disneyland.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's
cool. My brother lives in Glendale. So he's been there for like 12 years or something like that.
And this is the same brother from earlier?
I only got one.
Okay. Interesting. Glendale. Yeah, I don't really spend too much time out that way. I normally try to just stick to Orange County because, it's like driving out here is dangerous.
I mean, I lived in San Diego for about 5 years. Uh-huh. My brother, who I talk to pretty much every day, I went and visited him like maybe twice. I don't want to fucking drive up there. It's a nightmare, dude.
Yeah. Especially when you got to take the 405.
Yeah. You take 405 or you hop right on the 5 or something like that. And, and then you're just getting shit on the entire time, basically.
Yeah. Cause, and just like, I used to go to San Diego a lot. I used to go to Chula Vista. So from here in Orange County to Chula Vista, it's like, all right, like I have to leave at a certain time to just get ahead of traffic, because if I get caught in the traffic like that, 2 hour drive could easily turn to like 3.5, 4.
Oh yeah. What were you doing in Chula? I used to live there.
Oh really? Oh, I used to date this girl back in the day.
Oh okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Which
I love Chula Vista.
Yeah, shout out the CVHC. It was nice. It was like I would go like every other weekend, so it was interesting. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, like, I love Orange County. It's nice out here. I've lived here for a really long time, but it's always nice to kind of just switch it up.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, but San Diego. I'm trying to think the last time I went to San Diego. It's been a minute. Yeah,
I was there. We did. We played. When was the last time I was there? I think it was for the toy drive, because we played the toy drive.
Mm-hmm.
We did that. Yeah, I am not a huge LA guy. I don't have a good time whenever I'm there. I'm just like, fuck, dude. There's like too much going on. So I just always fly into San Diego, and then I just like go up to LA if I have to do that.
Yeah, I like LA is nice, but it's not for me, right? Like I'll so like I'll go to LA for like shows or for like K-pop concerts whenever they're in town, but for the most part I never just go for fun,
right? Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I'll be in San Diego, I think, in May for that like Bayway, Hold My Own, Out of Pocket, Fool's Game. They have a run in Southern California. I think they're playing.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. They're playing Rapid Fest, I think, or maybe I'm mixing that up. But then they're playing LA and then San Diego.
Where are they playing in San Diego? Probably the Che or something.
I want to say the Che. Yeah. I can look this up real quick. But
yeah, we did that. We did that Twitching Tongue show in LA, and then we played the next day at the Che with Mongrel, and that show was fucking crazy.
Yeah, it is at the Che.
Nice.
Where was the Twitching Tongue show at? I'm trying to remember.
Their like first like LA show, just with like them headlining or whatever at what's that? 17 whatever's
1720.
1720.
Mm-hmm.
It was that one there. It was like MS Paint played, Twitching Tongues. I forgot who else. My memory is so fucking bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great show. It was a fucking awesome show.
Yeah, I'm just happy that
Cruelty played.
Oh, shout out Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just happy that we've gotten so much Twitching Tongues in like the last year, because there was like this very long drought. So the fact that they've played so much, it's awesome.
That was a band I always like. I mean, like Taylor recorded all the World of Pain stuff, but I always liked that band. I thought they were dope. They played this, there was this cool venue in Buffalo called the Funeral Home, that was running for a couple years. And that was like, Buffalo was like the popping spot to play for a while. And, they rolled through, I don't know what tour it was, but I first saw them there and I was like, damn, this band's cool. And yeah, they're fucking awesome. Great band.
Yeah. Yeah. Normally, I mean, with my head, see that, I have this like, Twitching Tongues football jersey.
Oh yeah.
I always try to keep that in the frame just out of respect because I'm such a huge fan of that band.
Band rips.
Now I'm curious, do you pay attention to anything that's going on in like in Syracuse?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard not to. I mean, you know, my singer lives in Rochester, but Syracuse is an hour from there, you know, not far. So I see what's going on there usually. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I'm a huge fan of that band Deal With God.
Yeah. I feel bad. I played with them in Buffalo one time, early on with Missing Link. And, I know they're like doing cool shit and they're a cool band. I think they played like 10 minutes from my house and I didn't know the show was going on. Or I would have gone. I think my singer's cool with their singer or something like that. I don't know. I know they're a cool band. I haven't listened to them. I probably should. I haven't though.
Yeah, no.
We get asked to play like Syracuse area, like Western New York area, kind of often. But it's such a fucking like. Everyone lives on Long Island. No, people don't realize this about New York. It's a lot like California. Like from Long Island to like Syracuse, New York is like fucking 7 hours almost. Mm-hmm. Like, and vice versa. So when people are like, hey, do you want to come play? Like we got some show offer that was like, if it was on a weekend, it would be been a badass show. In Buffalo, but it's like on like a fucking Wednesday or something like that. I'm like, dude, like,
yeah, you're not doing that overnight.
Can't be going. Yeah. Hell no. No. But
yeah,
I try and pay attention to newer bands or bands that are doing shit and stuff, but I'm old. I don't know. I forget.
Yeah. I'm just a huge fan of theirs. And then there's a band from Buffalo called Spaced.
Yeah, I know their guitar player in that band. I mean, like Final Declaration, they're from Buffalo too.
Yeah.
Evan, the singer, he's a homie. He helps us with a lot of our designs and stuff like that. He's like our like, you know, I'll hit him up and be like, hey, can you just like pop this into Photoshop real quick? He's like, yeah, like make a whole fucking design for you. Yeah, sure, man. And then I'll like do that.
Yeah, shout out Evan, former guest of the podcast.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, dude. Yeah. Evan's a man.
Yeah. You mentioned I'm just going down the whole like, you know, list. You mentioned Rhinoceros earlier. The singer, he has a pizza shop or owns a pizza shop.
Joe? Yeah, Joe's got many shops. He has Allentown Pizza. He has Vasili's, which is like a Greek restaurant.
Oh wow.
He also owns Buffalo City Boxing. If anybody knows Joe Riverside, he is a fucking ass beater, so he will teach you how to be an ass beater for sure if you go to his gym.
Okay. And I'm just always curious about the quality of pizza because I have had you know, amazing pizza and I just want to know what else is out there.
Okay, so Western New York, again, I love Western New York. I love Buffalo, the city of Buffalo. Like I will put on for them forever more than my hometown. Western New York has its own like little food scene. So like their pizza's different. It's like a thicker square pizza with these little pepperonis if you eat meat, type of thing. You really gotta go to experience it, to be honest with you. But Joe's shop's great. He's great wings, great pizza. His Greek restaurant's fucking very good. I eat there almost. He owns it with another buddy of mine, Dustin. The food there is incredible. So
awesome. Okay. And taking it way back, you mentioned AFB. I'm not sure, you know, how many kids these days are familiar with AFB. But being like a, you know, lifelong straight edger, getting to experience AFB in real time and living through the seventh dagger era, which might not even know about. I always thought it was awesome. Like, you know, people today might look back at that and, you know, think it's corny, but I liked a lot of those bands. And it, even like, I just saw today, like, you know, X Tyrant X is playing a show.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So just like whenever there's like when any of those bands pop up, I always, you know, think back fondly of, you know, that era of hardcore. Cause, I just, you know, it was just a group of people who were, you know, proud to be straight edge and, you know, wrote some cool music.
Yeah. That was kind of one of those things where, like I said, I've been in a bunch, I did some time in the Mongoloids too. I played in the Mongoloids for a little bit.
Oh, really?
So it was like, it was, we were playing, and Recon was playing in California quite a bit, and we would play shows with AFB. And then we just kind of clicked. We're just homies. Like, you know, they were on the same level as we were, just with like being goofy or whatever our personalities were at the time. And so they needed a drummer. So they would like, they started flying me out there just to fill in for them all the time. So I did, I don't know how many tours I did with them, but it was a lot. And I recorded, I think, a song or two for them. And shit was great. I mean, it was fun. Like, it was, again, I was 19 years old. And just like, oh, it's a straight edge band. I'm playing a straight edge band from Reno, Nevada, like the fucking mecca of straight edge.
You know, to this day, I've never been to Reno. I want to go out there at some point just to see what it's like.
Another city that I think is really cool. I thought Reno was really dope because it's a West Coast city. People don't really think about it like that, but it is a West Coast. It's further west technically than LA if you look at it on a map. But it's a West Coast city that gets four seasons. So like, their winter is not super brutal, their summer's not super brutal, their spring's not super brutal, unless everything's changed with the whatever. But it used to be a really rad city. I used to really enjoy spending time there. I would like get off of tour with Recon, and then I would immediately just fly to Reno just to kick it for a few weeks.
You know, I used to frequent Las Vegas a lot, and there was always like a certain group of like, you know, Reno kids that would come down. So I would always be like, man, these kids are down. These kids are dedicated to drive, you know, like all the time to Las Vegas. And I just never made it out there. And obviously, like I was a fan of, you know, AFB. And then one of the guys did or a couple of them did that band Code Red after that.
Yeah, so Alex, he did Code Red. I don't think Alex was in AFB. I don't know who else was in Code Red. Maybe Joe Foley. Joe played in the Mongoloids too. Joe also, I think he does some like more kind of like indie stuff now. But okay. Alex moved to Seattle. He does RJC, Regional Justice Center or whatever. That band fucking rips. And then they also did this band Wolf City after that.
Okay, I remember Wolf City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy times.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Interesting times. Very interesting. Yep.
Okay. And going back to Recon, even though I said the last thing on Recon, but do you ever look at Rise Records? Because sometimes I'll go back and visit the label to see if you know, if they have any new bands that I'm interested in. But
you know, this might sound weird. I mean, Recon was Recon, right? We're heavy band, mosh band, whatever you want to call it. I didn't really ever listen to that kind of music. I mean, I did, but it wasn't like, it was never my cup of tea. You know, it was. That, but you know, early Recon, like our demos and stuff just kind of sounded like Mike, our, you know, and you know, famously would always say that like the goal was just to rip off Buried Alive and then just put breakdowns in it. And like, if you listen to our earliest stuff, that's really what it kind of sounded like. And so whoever was on Rise at the time, I never really listened to. I mean, we did a bunch of tour. We did like a, I think For the Fallen Dreams was on Rise. When I think, yeah, they were on Rise. Duh, yeah, they were on Rise. They had a cool record. Those dudes are awesome. We would tour with all these bands, and I could appreciate like what they were doing, but it's like, you know, when I'd get back in the van, it would just be like, all right, like, let's just listen to Master Killer again and go to the next show. You know what I mean? Even though we're on tour with like The Devil Wears Prada or something like that. But I never, like, the guy that owned Rise, his name is Craig. He was super dope. Did right by us. He was awesome. And yeah, that was really about it.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear, because I always get bummed when I hear like horror stories about, you know, bands or labels that I enjoyed.
Dude, I mean, not to harp, keep talking about Recon or anything like that, but like we didn't have a booking agent, we didn't have a manager, we didn't have anything. It was like we were really lucky. Justin Closed Casket put out our first EP, and then we signed Rise. Craig put our record out, and we booked all of our own shit, all of our own tours and stuff like that. So as far as like where people kind of get tripped up, where like, oh, I had this like manager who took all my money, or this label who did this or did this, we just never really had any of that, which was pretty dope.
Was any of that ever offered to you guys?
Yeah. We kind of stupidly, we were supposed to record at the Machine Shop. Back in the day, that was like Will Putney's place. And we were like, nah, we're going to record in Albany, where like all these Albany, the Skinless recorded and shit like that. And like, our full length record to me is unlistenable. I cannot listen to it. I think it's terrible. I think it sounds terrible. We were offered booking agencies and, you know, all that type of shit. But we were just like, nah, we're good. Like, why would we need? We were recording our full length, and we got offered the Earth Crisis reunion tour, the first one that they did. My fucking brain exploded, because they were like my favorite band ever. Uh-huh. And so like we would just get offers like that. So we were like, I guess when we like need a booking agent, we'll get one. But we just never needed one.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I look at bands and I'm like, why do you have a booking agent? Why do you have a manager? But then there's other times where I'm like, okay, I'm happy that there's like some organization going on. So it's not needed for every band, but right. Sometimes I feel like it is necessary.
I would love that. I hate booking shows. I hate putting stuff together and everything like that.
Yeah, from experience, booking shows is it's not as fun as I thought it would be. You know, dealing with like
it's not fun at all.
Yeah, like having to deal with like, oh, radius clause, or our manager doesn't want us to play, or just getting snaked for shows. So just like a lot of things that you don't really account for till it happens. Mm-hmm. And you learn from experience. Like, oh, this, okay, never go. Yeah, we can't let that happen again. But that's cool. I didn't realize, like I said, when I was younger and listening to Recon when you guys were more active, I just didn't know how you guys actually operated. I just knew Recon was coming to California. I just hoped 13 was on the set list, and that's all I hope for. Other than that, like, you know, I had a good time.
13's on every set list.
Okay. And outside of Missing Link, is there anything that you're doing, like, more actively, like in terms of music?
I play in this band Eyeball with Kane from Vomit Forth, and Jay from Balmora plays guitar, and it's kind of like alternative-ish band. Mm-hmm. We don't really play that much, obviously, because Vomit Forth is like always gone.
Yeah, always on tour.
But we'll do that. I'm always like, I have this like recording shit at my house that I want to like do my own band, but I can't figure out how to hook it all up because I'm stupid. So I'll figure that out at some point. Yeah, there's always stuff in the works. There's always new projects to do and everything like that. So
Okay. And so currently you said you're in what, Western Mass?
Yeah, Western Mass, like Springfield, Holyoke-ish area.
Okay. And is there a band that you know people should be listening to that they might not be?
I don't know. I mean, dude, I probably sound like such a dick, dude, but there's so many cool bands that are coming out, you know, that I listen to all the time, but like, I guess putting me on the spot listening to it, I have no idea. I'm sure there are. There's a bunch of rad bands. Western Mass is pretty cool right now because they have this like smaller venue. If you're like a touring band and you're like, if you're doing a weekend or you're going on tour and you're like maybe the size of like my band or something like that, and you need like a show that's going to be rad, that'll pack out of like 150, 200 kids, they're booking shows in Holyoke here at this like small little like venue. This dude Zach and a couple of his buddies are doing shows and they're fucking killing it. And there's like one other venue here, but there's a lot of that, like, I don't know. There's a bunch of bands coming up from around here. So there's that band, Dom's new band, Final Resting Place, or kind of like death metal band.
Yes. Sick. Yeah. I saw them floating around social media. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. 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 They're pretty good. I like that. That's like my shit. So. Mm.
Okay. Well, I really do appreciate, you know, all the schedule switching and, you know, so I really appreciate you working with me, and I really appreciate you, you know, taking the time to do the podcast today. But before we sign off, is there anything else you would like to say?
No, we got a record coming out, summertime. And right. If you play drums, hit your drums hard.
All right. There it is. All right. Well, appreciate your time, Paul. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back soon. Goodbye. Yeah.